Welcome to Clear Text. It's Friday, July 10th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves.
Jordan, you want to set the table for us?
Yeah. So the EU just took four of its own member states to court for failing to implement NIS2, the cybersecurity directive that was supposed to be law over 20 months ago. Ireland, Spain, France, the Netherlands, these aren't backwater jurisdictions. These are core EU economies. And the Commission isn't sending a polite letter anymore. They're filing in the European Court of Justice.
That's where we're starting today. We've also got the NSA bringing back the Tau name, which Jordan has feelings about, a genuinely disturbing new malware toolkit from Microsoft's threat intel team, a ransomware negotiator who went to prison for betraying his own clients, and a new wave of attacks that are specifically targeting passkey enrollment, which should worry anyone in the middle of a phishing-resistant MFA rollout. Let's get into it.
Let's start with NIS2, because I think the CISO implications here are underappreciated. When four major member states are 20 months late transposing a directive, what you get is regulatory fragmentation. If you're a multinational operating across the EU, you don't have one cybersecurity compliance framework. You have a patchwork. Some countries have implemented, some haven't, and now there's active litigation creating even more uncertainty about timelines.
This is a board-level problem. I've been in rooms where the question is, are we NIS2 compliant? And the honest answer for a lot of organizations operating in these four countries is, we don't fully know what compliant means yet, because the national transposition hasn't happened. That doesn't fly with a board. They want a yes or a no. So what do? You build to the directive's requirements as written and hope the national implementations don't diverge too far.
Which is the right call, but it costs more. You're essentially over-engineering compliance in the absence of clarity. And now the Commission taking court action signals that enforcement pressure is only going up. This isn't going away quietly.
If you're a CISO in one of these jurisdictions, the action item is straightforward. Brief your legal team and your board that formal enforcement proceedings are underway. Document your compliance posture against the directive itself, and be prepared for an accelerated national implementation timeline, because court action tends to focus political attention.
All right, let's shift to something near and dear to my heart. The NSA has renamed its Office of Computer Network Operations back to Tailored Access Operations, TAO. For those who don't know the history, TAO was the name publicly exposed in the Snowden disclosures. It's the NSA's premier offensive hacking unit, operational since the early 90s.
And renaming it back is not nostalgia.
No, it's a signal. You don't resurrect the most recognizable name in offensive cyber operations by accident. This is the agency telling adversaries, and frankly telling the domestic policy community, that the U.S. is leaning into a more assertive offensive cyber posture. It's branding as strategy.
So what does this mean for CISOs?
Two things. First, geopolitical threat modeling. When the U.S. signals offensive escalation, adversaries respond. We should expect increased probing and retaliatory operations from the usual suspects, China, Russia, Iran. Not necessarily against the government, but against private sector targets that serve as proxies or pressure points. Second, if you're in defense industrial base, critical infrastructure, or technology sectors, your threat surface just got more interesting.
And that connects directly to our next story, which is a perfect case study in what overlapping nation-state operations actually look like on the ground. Researchers found that both Chinese and Indian state-linked threat actors independently compromised these same Pakistani police systems over a two-year period, February 2024 through April 2026. Same systems, different campaigns, neither apparently aware of the other.
This is the reality of contested geopolitical terrain. When a target sits at the intersection of multiple nations' intelligence priorities, you don't get one adversary, you get several, and they stack up on the same infrastructure. For CISOs at multinationals with operations or supply chain exposure in South Asia, this is directly relevant. Your systems in those regions may already host more than one uninvited guest.
And the incident response implications are significant. When you discover a compromise, you can't assume you found the only one. Attribution gets harder, remediation gets more complex. You need to scope for multiple independent intrusions, not just one.
Which is expensive and time-consuming, but it's the reality of operating in geopolitically contested environments.
Let's talk about GigaWiper, because this is a piece of malware that I think represents a meaningful escalation in destructive capability. Microsoft's threat intel team published analysis of a Windows backdoor that bundles three distinct destructive payloads into a single modular toolkit: full disk wiper, Windows drive overrider, and fake ransomware that encrypts files with a key it deliberately never saves.
The modularity is what matters here. This isn't one tool that does one thing. It's an operator-selectable menu. The attacker gets in, assesses the situation, and picks which destruction method fits their objective. And that fake ransomware component is particularly nasty. It's designed to create false hope. The victim sees a ransom note, thinks there's a path to recovery, and wastes critical response hours pursuing a decryption key that doesn't exist.
That's time the attacker uses for lateral movement, additional exfiltration, or simply watching the chaos unfold. For CISOs at critical infrastructure organizations or anyone with geopolitical exposure, this needs to go into your worst-case tabletop scenarios. Are your response plans built for a scenario where what looks like ransomware is actually a wiper?
And can your team distinguish between the two fast enough to make the right containment decisions? Because the playbooks are very different. If it's ransomware, you might negotiate. If it's a wiper masquerading as ransomware, every minute you spend negotiating is a minute you're not isolating.
Speaking of ransomware, let's hit the GuidePoint report quickly. Their latest findings show that despite the overall ecosystem growing, four dominant groups account for a disproportionate share of enterprise attacks. And the AI angle is more nuanced than the headlines suggest. AI is automating existing attacker behaviors, reconnaissance, lure creation, but it's not fundamentally changing the attack model.
Which is actually useful information for CISOs. It means your existing defensive architecture is still relevant. You're not facing a paradigm shift. You're facing the same adversaries moving faster and at higher volume. And concentration matters. If four groups dominate, you can study their TTPs, map your defenses against them specifically, and brief your board with empirical data rather than vague AI fear.
Now, Microsoft, picking up on that AI acceleration theme, has rewritten its Windows patch deployment guidance. They're formally advising enterprises to compress deployment timelines because AI is shrinking the window between patch release and weaponized exploit.
This is the operational consequence of what GuidePoint is describing. AI makes attackers faster at reverse engineering patches, so the safe window between patch Tuesday and active exploitation is narrowing. Microsoft is essentially telling you your current patch SLAs may be too slow.
For CISOs, this is a governance conversation. You need to revisit your patch management policies with your IT operations teams and formalize shorter deployment windows, at least for internet-facing and high-value assets. If your current SLA is 14 days, that may need to come down to 7 or less for critical patches. And yes, that's hard operationally, but Microsoft isn't making this recommendation casually.
All right, let's talk about what I think is the most operationally urgent cluster of stories this week. Two related campaigns targeting Microsoft 365 identity infrastructure. First, a threat actor tracked as OnC066 is using vishing to trick users into enrolling attacker-controlled passkeys into Microsoft Entra. Second, a new group called Helix is combining vishing, device code phishing, and MFA abuse to exfiltrate data from SharePoint environments.
This is a direct attack on the thing we've been telling people to deploy. Passkeys are supposed to be the answer to phishing. They are phishing resistant by design. But what these attackers have figured out is that the enrollment process itself is vulnerable. If you can social engineer someone into registering your passkey instead of their own, you've bypassed the protection entirely.
And they're doing it at scale with a panel-controlled phishing kit. This isn't bespoke, it's tooled. Multiple sectors are being hit. The Helix group adds another layer by going after device code flows, which many organizations haven't locked down because they don't think of them as an attack surface.
The action items here are concrete. 1. Review and restrict who can enroll passkeys in Entra, and add out-of-band verification for new enrollments. 2. Audit device code flow permissions and disable them where they're not operationally necessary. 3. Update your user awareness training to specifically cover vishing scenarios targeting passkey enrollment. This is not generic vishing awareness. This is a specific, novel attack vector.
And if you're in the middle of a passkey rollout, don't stop, but treat enrollment security as a first-class design requirement, not an afterthought.
Last story, and it's a striking one. Angelo Martino, a former ransomware negotiator at Digital Mint, was sentenced to 70 months in federal prison for feeding confidential client information to Black Cat ransomware affiliates. His betrayal enabled $75 million in extortion across 5 U.S. organizations. He was supposed to be helping victims. Instead, he was arming the attackers.
This is the nightmare scenario for the incident response supply chain. During a ransomware event, you're at your most vulnerable. You're bringing in outside help, giving them privileged access to your most sensitive data, your financials, your negotiation strategy, your recovery capabilities. And this guy used all of that to help the other side.
The precedent matters. 70 months is serious prison time. It signals that the justice system treats this kind of insider betrayal in the cyber response chain as a serious crime. But for CISOs, the lesson is about vendor risk management during crises. How well do you vet your incident response partners? Do you have contractual controls and monitoring in place for third parties who gain privileged access during an incident?
Most organizations don't. In the heat of a crisis, you're not running background checks. You're trusting the firm's reputation. This case says that's not enough.
All right, let's wrap with what we're watching. Jordan, what's the thread you're pulling on this week?
Identity is the battlefield. Between the passkey enrollment attacks, Helix targeting SharePoint through MFA abuse, and the broader trend of social engineering bypassing technical controls, the message is clear. The perimeter has fully collapsed into identity, and the attackers are adapting faster than most enterprises are hardening their identity infrastructure.
I agree. And I'd add the regulatory dimension. Between NIS2 enforcement, Microsoft rewriting patch guidance, and a ransomware negotiator going to prison, the governance environment is tightening from every direction. Boards are going to be asking harder questions about compliance timelines, vendor oversight, and operational response speed. CISOs need to get ahead of those conversations, not react to them.
And the TAO rebranding tells me the geopolitical temperature is going up, not down. Plan accordingly.
That's our show for Friday, July 10th. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Have a good weekend. Stay sharp.
See you Monday.